As advertised this morning, in studio guest James Tamelkoff is here. Good to meet you, James.
Hey, brother. How are you?
I am well. Thank you for joining us and talking about your music. Where do you hail from?
I'm from Charlottesville, Virginia, but I grew up in Madison County, Virginia, which is about middle of the state.
And country music was always something you loved?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I grew up on country, man. My dad and my grandfather were big Johnny Cash fans, Waylon Jennings fans, the Highwaymen. And so I grew up on that older outlaw stuff. You know, as I got older and started wanting to write songs and stuff, I really fell in love with like guys like George Strait and Keith Whitley, Merle Haggard. So that's kind of where my heart is with country.
It seems like it's been a little bit of a revert back to the 90s country these days.
Yeah, you know, I love it, and I think it's great for, you know, just country in general to get back to its roots. And, you know, I think everything goes through phases, even, you know, with vinyl and people wanting to listen to stuff on a cassette or a CD. Like, at some point, everyone's going to say, man, I want to listen to a CD again. So you're going to start seeing CD players pop up. It's the same thing with country. You know, it goes through the phases, and, you know, it's great to see that so many guys are giving people like me the platform to play the music I've always wanted to play. I give you a great example. Like, you know, I've played frat parties in the last couple of years back home. Different all the time. Different things come up. But I remember before, like, let's say before 2020, I was playing some old country, Alabama, George Strait, Alan Jackson, and nobody would care. And now it's like, play Two Dozen Roses, play Chattahoochee. You know what I mean? It's like, well, you're the same people now requesting this because, you know, they're telling you it's cool again. So I'm happy with it because it gives me a career. So
ride the trend.
Yeah.
When you're writing songs, then do you kind of write with that kind of thought in mind, kind of that throwback sound a little bit?
Yeah, I would say so. You know, like I try to, you know, keep my influences in mind. And I don't know if there's necessarily a certain style of writing that constitutes that genre, you know, that era of country, but I think it's more so the storytelling aspect and being able to paint a picture with the song is what really gets me excited. So
tell us about your single that we're going to play here.
Yeah, man, this song is, man, this is one that, you know, when you're deciding on singles, especially this early on in my, you know, career in terms of releasing music, it's always like, do I put this one out, do I put that one out? And sometimes it's best just to go and cut a bunch of songs and see what happens. And this song, when we cut it back in February, it was just, you know, as soon as I heard it, the rough mix, I was like, yeah, this is such a cool song. And I think it really emulates the 90s sound, the early 2000s sound, which is really who I am. So,
have you been getting some good radio response, James?
Oh, yeah, yeah. A lot of ads, more than I ever thought it would. And it's opened up already so many doors that I never thought would open. So it's a blessing. And some of the writers on there, as well as Dan Isbell, who wrote hits like Kind of Love We Make, Luke Combs, and several other Luke Combs hits, Drake Milligan, who's also a great artist in his own right, great songwriter, Chris Utley, who's been producing my music, was also a writer on that. So it's really cool to be able to work with those guys and, you know, be able to, you know, have them in my corner. So
yeah, I'm guessing. Yeah, it's you surround yourself with good people, right?
Yeah, that's what it's all about, man.
You
yeah.
bet. Let's give it a spin. James Tamelkoff on WRCO.
Rooftop bar martini, a turning heads black dress. She's head to toe big city. She's got on her uptown vest. If I tip the band a 20 to play an old two-stepping song, I bet she'd slip out of those high heels, dance and sing along. 'Cause I can see wild in her smile, and I can see restless in her eyes. She'd fit right in on a western wind under a painted desert sky. Trying to tie her down would be like trying to hurt the stars. That girl's a cowgirl at heart. You won't find her right.
I can see wild in her smile. I can see restless in her eyes. She'd fit right in on a western wind under a painted desert sky. But trying to tie her down would be like trying.
James Tamblecoff, that's a good sounding record.
Thank you, brother.
It does kind of capture the whole, it's been kind of a year of Texas themes.
I love it, man. Yeah, I love Texas. I'm hoping to get down there a lot more this year and in the future. It's a great place for this type of music, and I like it there.
You and I were talking during the break about the year, the phenomenal success that Ella Langley has had.
Yeah, it's amazing, and I think that, you know, people are you know, also with her writing and her sound, her style, it's very authentic, and it's easy to know who is and who isn't, you know, when it comes to song delivery and how, you know, she just does her thing consistently, and I think she's going to be on top for a long time.
I think that, and it's been a real resurgence in country music. I think a lot more younger people are tuning that way. And I can always tell, because I cover a lot of sporting events, if I'm at a basketball game and I hear Ella Langley playing, it's like, okay, the kids have discovered it now, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah. So your first time through the Midwest?
Well, no, I've been through the Midwest quite a bit. But as far as this part of Wisconsin, it's my first time. And I got the red and blue light special welcome as I crossed into, how do we say that, Prairie du Chien. Yeah, and luckily they let me go. So
you didn't know you were going to get a police escort today, did you? You showed them the guitar, and you said,
"Yeah, I did. I tried to speak politely, and I got off with a warning." So.
Wow. You know, that sounds like a song you could write.
Yeah, I might have to.
There you go. Rolling into Wisconsin, the Blue Light Special.
That sounds country, man.
Yeah, yeah. Now give me writing credit now.
That's right. I got you, brother. Yeah, man.
But you did tour with a Johnny Cash show for a while.
I did, yeah. And we did make it up to this part of the country. As we talked about, I was supposed to play the Pabst Theater in Milwaukee. But it got canceled during COVID. But I've made it to Chicago and places nearby. So, it was a lot of fun to do that, and I learned a lot about touring and a lot about, you know, being a professional in the business in big venues like that. So it's all translating to what I'm doing now.
Did you have to wear black?
I did, yeah. I had to shave the beard every weekend, which kind of sucked. I prefer to have a beard. You know, it's crazy. I shave the beard, and I get carded everywhere I go, and if I don't shave, it's like, oh, this guy must be 40, but I'm 27, you know. I had the black, and but it was never about, you know, being a Johnny Cash impersonator as much as it was about, you know, just paying tribute to the music and giving the music the respect it deserves. And, you know, it was so cool to see the audiences anywhere from 8 to 80, you know, and everything in between. And, you know, there's a lot of Johnny Cash fans out there.
There definitely are. You've had a chance to be a supporting act for some big names, James.
Yeah, I've been blessed in many different capacities with playing for other artists, myself, guys like Travis Tritt, Chris Young, Randall King out of Texas, who's a friend of mine and someone I really look up to. And it's going to be a lot more of that coming up with more music coming out and everything. And that's the beauty of putting your own stuff out, that you get those opportunities. So.
Do you have a regular band that tours with you?
I do, yeah. Yep. It's been a couple guys out of Virginia and then a couple guys in Nashville I'm working with now, so.
I've asked other artists this too. When you're in Nashville, do you feel inspired? Because it seems like there's so many writers there.
Yeah, man. You know, it's so cool. Nashville is it's such an interesting place. And, you know, I think when I'm home in Virginia, I wake up and there's so many other things I can do, you know, at home. But when I wake up there, it's like you're thinking, all right, it's time to get to work, because you know everybody else around you is going to be working hard that day. And somebody's writing the next hit and you got to be a guy that's attempting to write the next hit. You know, it's crazy. You'll write something and you'll be excited about it, and you'll scroll TikTok and see another writer that written something that day, and you're just like, man, I didn't write that one. You know, but it's all part of the learning process and just getting more repetitions and surrounding yourself with people who do it really well.
James Tamelkoff in the studio with us. I'm Phil Nee, and glad to have you here. You cruised up through Iowa. You had a chance to see Clear Lake and the Surf Ball.
I did, yeah. That's such an iconic venue. You know, I've heard about it all my life, and so everybody and their brothers played there. And obviously the biggest thing with it is the Buddy Holly story, the day the music died, and being able to go there and see that little memorial out front, and then I actually drove 10 more minutes to the crash site in the cornfield where the plane went down. So it was pretty surreal to see that stuff.
Do they still have, is it the same fence line that was there back in the
day?
Well,
so there's no fence. So you park across the street. It's the Don McLean parking lot. And okay. Then you see they have like a replica of Buddy Holly's glasses. Like they're huge. And then you see that, and it's just a clear path through the field until you get to the point where they have like the little windmill thing and there's a little memorial there.
A little tribute, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it seems like they've improved it since I was there. I think when I was there, it was just still a barbed wire fence.
So, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, we promised that you'd sing a song for us.
Yeah.
And it's a new one you've got coming out this year?
Yeah, I've got a record coming out on August the 7th, and this is a song that I wasn't too sure about it at first, and I started playing it out and playing it for people, and they were like, you got to put that one out. And this goes out to all the guys who have girlfriends or wives or significant others that just cost them a lot of money. You know, if you go to eat lunch and they don't get a cheeseburger, they get filet mignon. So this one's called Expensive. I wish having a heart of gold could pay for a tank of gas, and these manners mama taught me could translate to cold hard cash. Cause when these damn good looks of mine rope that girl from the upper class, I sure found out fast, love's expensive. It all started with that first date, tried my best to impress. That valet wine and fine dine stretch my American Express. The bad news is it went so well, she said, let's do this again. I tell you, friend, love's expensive. To clean up the truck all washed and waxed, to wear the right shirt, new pair of pants, roses and clothes, out the bar tab, to getting her home all safe in a cab, keeping that twinkling in her eye whenever she's looking at me, it's expensive. Grandpa always told me best things in life are free. From the finger that I'm wrapped around, I downright disagree. Cause them 3-carat diamond rings in the window sure don't grow on trees. The way she's smiling at me, love's expensive. To buy the right phone, to take the right pics, to make the right memories, buy the plane ticks, all sorts of resorts and exotic trips, Valentine's, birthdays, Christmas wish list, keeping that twinkling in her eye whenever she's looking at me, it ain't cheap. Believe me, love's expensive. It's expensive, Phil. That's okay. I didn't need that arm and a leg anyway. Expensive.
Love it.
Thank
James Tamelkop. A little tongue-in-cheek.
Someone's going to relate to that. Based on a true story.
I was going to say, now you're singing, you're writing from personal experience?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Really?
I won't put anything out I haven't lived or experienced firsthand, so, you know, I think it makes it more personal. So.
But you've been at this for a while. I mean, when you were growing up, you were in high school. Is this what you wanted to do?
Yeah, I started playing the guitar when I was 7 years old and never put it down. And I would say once I graduated, the touring window started opening up for me and never looked back, so...
Interesting. What about goals? Do you set goals? Some things
you
like to do?
You know, it's one of those things where in this business you can set the bar too high, and then sometimes I think you get disappointed, discouraged, and it's easy to do that in this business because you can get shot down just as fast as you're moving up. And I think it's important to look at, you know, small wins and just, you know, and progress as you do, you know, like you get on a radio tour and those are successful and more people are playing your music, you know, you're not going to get on a Billboard chart right away. And so I think it's just accepting and being appreciative of all the little things as you're working your way up. And then I think it'll keep you more balanced and not so much thinking so far ahead that you can't, you know, think about what you really need to be doing right then. So yeah, I mean, there's all kind of goals, but I think it's just important to understand who you are and where you are on the ladder and just keep working hard.
You know, somebody recorded one of your songs. I mean, that's sometimes a stepping stone too, isn't
it? Yeah. And that's something that, you know, a big artist, I'm always open to that. You know what I mean? You know, getting a cut on something. So you never know, you know, mm-hmm. never close an open door.
Yeah, there are several that I can think of off the top of my head that's how they started. They were discovered, somebody did one of their songs. Chris Stapleton is a good example.
Oh, yeah, and he's written across many genres, Adele and so on and so forth. And some big songs that people probably don't even realize, like Good Directions, Billy Currington, was written by Luke Bryan, you know, early in Luke's career. So, you know, maybe Luke wouldn't have had the success with that song as Billy had, but it still opened up a big door for him to show who he is as a writer and then became the artist he is now, you know.
Have you got a famous duet partner picked out that you'd like to record with sometime?
I don't know. You know, that's tough. I think it's one of those things that, if, you know, if the opportunity presented itself, I would. I have some artists that are friends of mine that are doing well in the industry that might be cool to do a duet with, you know, as people that I've known for a while. But as far as major artists, I don't know.
Summer plans? Do you have some touring?
Yeah, I got some touring coming up. The album release show on August the 8th. The album's out on the 7th, and that's something I'm really excited about. And just getting a lot of things in line with that, merchandise and getting the band prepared and all that. And, there's some shows coming up with Chris Cagle, Dan Tominski, who are some guys I've always liked for a while. And some other stuff that in the works. I don't want to jinx it, but it's going to be definitely an exciting summer.
Dan, famous for the Oh Brother, Where Art Thou?
Hey, brother. Yeah
exactly. Oh, yeah. Man of constant sorrow.
Yeah. What a picker. What an artist.
No doubt about it. Yeah. Do you get a chance to mingle and interact with these guys when you're on
session? Some of them are more open to that than others. You know, like some guys won't, you know, get off the bus until it's time, and some guys flying on a private jet and walk on the stage and get back in their SUV and back to the jet. But a lot of times, you know, guys, I will say this, I went and saw Joe Nichols back home in Winchester. I think this was the end of January, and got to meet him before the show, go on his bus and hang out with him, and he played almost 3 hours, and somebody was like hollering a song the whole time. I think it was Footlights by Merle Haggard, because he's a huge Haggard guy. And he said, man, I'm out of time. And he said, but I'll come down and meet you, because he was doing a meet and greet for people who bought t-shirts or merch or whatever. And so after that 2-hour and 45-minute set, he came down, shook everybody's hand that, you know, was standing in line, and sure enough, he brought the guitar down and sang that song for that woman. So, you know, a guy that's been at it as long as he has, that just shows, you know, what being a man of the people can do for you, and just, you know, just gave me a lot more respect for him too.
Add a little extra effort sometimes.
Yeah, it goes a long way.
It does. People, when they go to a show, I think they want to think they're seeing something that nobody else has seen.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, so I've always been that way too. Just try to shake as many hands and thank people for taking the time out to support you, because they don't have to. You know, it's all just their decisions to do that. So it's we can't do it without them. you know.
A lot of the artists now, I'm told, make more money off the merch than they do doing the playing the songs, right?
Yeah, it's merch. If you have good merch, you can definitely make some money.
Yeah, good deal. And how can people get a hold of your music?
Yeah, any streaming platform: Spotify, Apple, YouTube, Amazon, and then I'm on Instagram, Facebook, Bands in Town, all that good stuff. So if you just search James Temelkoff on any of those platforms, I will be there.
Wonderful. Your closing song, your encore today.
Yeah,
you got one picked out.
Let's see here. How about I do? Let's see. I'm gonna do this song here. This is a song here that I discovered 10 years ago. I was in Nashville at a place called The Local. And I heard this song. It was a guy named Kevin Denny on stage. And Kevin
I know Kevin, yeah.
Yeah, he's a very, very, very good songwriter. And he was just playing by himself. And I heard him doing this song, and I never heard it before. And I was just like, oh, my gosh, like, where did that come from? And turns out it was a big hit for him in the early 2000s. I think it was 04. And that song just always stuck with me. And I was like, man, if I ever put a record out, I want to cut that thing. And just, you know, just because I love it, it's been a part of my growth as an artist. And sure enough, I decided to cut it, and I'm going to put it out later in the year.
Look forward to it.
It's called That's Just Jesse.
All right. James Temelkoff, one more time, live on WRCO.
Sometimes in the morning, my coffee gets ice cold, and I'll burn up 3 cigarettes before I have my first smoke. Miss my exit on the way to work. Every now and then, I always blame it on the traffic when they ask me where I've been. And in a crowded elevator, start humming that old song. There's no way of knowing when that urge will come along. And I've been stuck in some meeting, look down at my legal pad, see hearts and flyers and butterflies, and I can't help but laugh. That's just a dirt road. Summer 89, that's just a backseat, and some muscadine wine, and that's just auburn hair brushing across my cheek, and those kiss me green eyes smiling back at me. That's just my mind jumping fences once again, and I'll be fine once I get a roll back in. I know sometimes I may act a little crazy, but that's just Jesse. Sometimes in the evening, I hear bare feet in the hall, and I see your slender silhouette dance across the wall. And I catch the scent of jasmine perfume in the wind, and I know it's her sweet memory coming back again. That's just a dirt road. Summer 89, that's just a backseat, and some muscadine wine, that's just auburn hair brushing across my cheek, and those kiss me green eyes smiling back at me. That's just my mind jumping fences once again, and I'll be fine once I get a roll back in. I know sometimes I may act a little crazy, but that's just Jesse. In a white cotton dress, that's just a wildfire but I ain't put out yet, and that's just auburn hair brushing across my cheek, and those kiss me green eyes smiling back at me. That's just my mind jumping fences once again, and I'll be fine once I get it rolled back in.
I know sometimes I may act a little crazy, but that's just Jesse. That's just Jesse.
Kevin Denny there. Thank you.
Wonderful. I like that. I'd kind of forgotten about that song myself.
Great song, man. I love it.
Yeah. I remember playing it back in the day. Mm-hmm. Well, safe travels to you. You're on to another radio spot, I believe.
Yep. Somewhere else in Wisconsin.
Good.
Janesville.
Janesville.
Something
there you
like
go.
That. Yeah.
That sounds good.
Hopefully no tickets.
Watch your speed.
No. Yeah.
Check out James Tamlikoff from all of the socials, and it's going to be really cool to say we knew him when.
Thank you, brother. Right. I hope so.
You bet.